pray and release. I want to talk to you tonight about the reasons to seek God or to pursue the Lord. And I started talking to you Sunday morning on the pursuit of the Lord and the reasons that are that the motivations for pursuing God. In fact, the whole Bible is written about. The central theme of the whole Bible is to pursue our Maker or pursue the Lord. And we're to pursue God to we come to a place of faith, peace, strength, and intimacy. We're to pursue God until we get to that place. And then we're constantly pursuing Him to maintain that place. But the Lord not only wants to do something in your heart, He wants to do something in your life with Him. God wants to draw us into such a wonderful, deep place of intimacy with Him. So we've been talking about reasons. So I'm just going to continue that on Friday night. It's not Friday night, it's Wednesday night. We're going to continue on here on this Wednesday night. And we're going to continue talking about reasons. Why God, why do I need to pursue the Lord? Now, I've got two videos I want to insert into the message tonight. And I pray that they will speak to your heart. Because I just feel like the Lord wants me to say it in one way tonight. Now we're going to be looking at and continually looking at reasons why to pursue the Lord, how to pursue God. I told you before, I taught on seeking God, I think at one time, for 5 years. It was a 5-year series. And because there's so much there, the whole Bible is on it. The whole Bible is about seeking God and pursuing God. And if you've lost your pursuit, you've just really lost out. You've lost the major focus of a believer's life. A believer's life is not to chase things. And you got to know that. And it's not to chase people. Some people serve God for relationships. Some people serve God for things. That's not a believer's life. We pursue God because we love Him deeply. And we're wanting, and once you have tasted the God, there's just something so deep in that you can't be satisfied anymore. Amen? All right, so we're going to talk about the relentless pursuit of God. The relentless pursuit of God. And we're going to go about it in one way tonight. Go to the next slide. And we want to get a picture of a pursuer. What a pursuer looks like. The pursuit of God. We got to get it into our heart. I mean, a lot of times you think a pursuer may be a 3-piece suit and a tie, but we've got to get a right vision of what a pursuer of God looks like. There's really three major things that we need and we desperately need in our life. We need a right view of God. I mean, we desperately need that. God is able to do in our life, able to be in our life, able to work in our lives in accordance with our view of Him. I mean, that's why some people say God heals sometimes, God doesn't, because they don't realize He's God the healer. They've got a wrong view of God, and that they wrestle with God about, was God going to take care of me? Well, you don't understand. He is provider. That's His name. And when you have the right view of God, then it helps you in your faith. It helps you to find a place to stand and a place of peace. And it releases joy in the midst of your life. Now, we start off with that scripture there in the book of Psalms where it says, as a deer pants for a flowing stream, my soul, Lord, pants for you. That's the picture of a starving deer reaching out for to be watered at the stream. And that is to be our heart. There's nothing else in all of our life that is to be the stronger pursuit than our pursuit of God. There should be no other greater passion in our life than the passion that we feel, the passion to know God intimately. Now, in 1 Chronicles 28, I was going to talk to you. We're going to kind of go through some promises here pretty quick. It says, for the Lord sees every heart and knows every plan and thought. If you seek Him, you will find Him. That's the absolute promise. If you seek Him, if you pursue Him, you will find Him. Somebody said, I don't know how to get close to God. Yes, you do. You start where you are. And where you are is with inability. And you start and you ask God. You say, God, I don't know how to do anything really. But I need You. And help me to pursue You, God. The Holy Spirit is the only one that can bring you to God. But He will lead you and guide you into the very pathways of the Lord. In fact, He guides you into all truth. And He guides you into abilities and powers. Praise the Lord. All right, now in 2 Chronicles chapter 15, 2, it says, whenever you seek Him, you find Him. So when I seek Him, when I will make a decision, I'm going to be passionate for God. There's some people fail to realize the Christian life is a life of faith. Some people don't know how to have joy. All they know how to be is down the dumps and depressed. But the Bible is a command for us to be joyful. They don't realize everything in the Word of God is by faith. And so I ask you, how does joy act? How does joy act? How does joy sound? How does joy talk? Then start doing it by faith. Same way people say, I don't feel love. Where does feeling have to do with it? How does love act? How does love sound? How does love look at situations? Start doing it by faith. That's the way God expects us to move into every wonderful characteristic of Himself, is by faith. There's nothing any higher and better than doing it by faith. God expects us to step out of the boat of our complacency. God expects us to step out of the boat of our inabilities and to step out on the water of His ability. And the way you do that, I mean, when Jesus said, stretch forth your hand, the little guy could have stood there and argued, I can't. But he could, you see, because he could do it by faith. So whatever it is that we're lacking in our life, we can move into that by faith. You just stop and ask yourself the question, how does it act? How does peace act? Most people say the opposite of me. So, well, I guess that's one definition. You stop and ask yourself, how does peace act? You take a step by faith, and then that step by faith moves you into the God realm. And as you move into the God realm, then you will find you will experience joy. And you will experience it. Same way you experience healing. It's the same way you experience every miracle of God. You move out of the place of inability, and we move into the place of God's ability. Amen? Praise God. All right, now, and 1 Chronicles 16:10 says, glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. There is a rejoicing in people that are seeking God. There is a joy. See, some people just lost their joy. So you know what they need to do? They need to rejoy. Start it up again. If you've lost your joy, the moment you, and this is the way that a believer carries on life. The moment you recognize you're not in joy, you rejoy. You crank it up again. Amen. See, the moment you realize you're not in peace, see, you may move in and out several times. See, God is trying to get us stable. But because we're still in this flesh, we start out unstable. But we start fighting our way in and believing our way in and trusting our way in. So the very moment that you recognize I'm not in joy, you stop and you rejoy. Rejoice. You rejoy. Start it up again. And you start it up again until it's able to flow continually. And the very same way with peace. The moment you recognize you're not in peace, you know you're not in God. The moment you recognize that you're not in joy, you know you're not in the strength of the Lord. And the moment you recognize that you're not in peace, you know that you're not stilling any storm. You're making the storm bigger. So what you have to do, the moment you recognize you're not in peace, you stop. And you say, precious Holy Spirit, I choose right now to handle this in peace. Everything around me tries to get me to handle it in frustration. But I'm choosing to handle this in peace. Precious Holy Spirit, let your peace now flow through me. then I always say, just take a deep breath. And more time than others, you can sense God's peace. But you have just stepped into it by faith. See, the same way that the devil puts you into acts of the flesh, you move into acts of faith. And we begin to walk in accordance with that. So, promise of the Lord. Acts chapter 17, verse 6, 26 says, his purpose was for the nations to seek after God. That's God's whole purpose from creation, is that we would seek after God. Luke chapter 12, verse 31, seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you what? Probably give you, what does it say? He'll give you everything. If you will seek God first, if you make it the highest pursuit of your life, is the pursuit of God. God makes absolute promise. He said, I'll give you everything. And so it's just so powerful. All right, now, the first reason we talked about, the reason that I had to pursue God, is because he calls me to do that. He calls me to do that. So I have to come to a place of, I have to make a decision in my heart. Either I'm going to obey God or not obey God. Either I'm going to pursue God or not. Because you can't halfway pursue the Lord. It's got to be pursue him or seek him with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, is the biblical description. And so you have to make a choice. So the first choice is pretty easy. I want to please God. How many of you want to please God? So I want to please God. So the first choice I make is yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I want to spend my whole life pursuing you. All right, the second thing is because my life needs it. My life, I can never, ever live out what God's called me to live unless I pursue God. I can't do it in my own. You can't live a supernatural life in the flesh or out of the flesh. We must live a supernatural life empowered by the Spirit of God. So if my life needs it, now that's what we talked about Sunday morning. That's kind of where I'm going to kind of even close that tonight. But in Revelation chapter 12, Revelation 20, 12, it says, I saw the dead, great and small, standing before God, and the books were open. There are many books in heaven. I just wanted to mention that fact. There are many books in heaven. You got to know that. And one of those books is the book of life. There's also the book of deeds, our book of rewards. And we know that God will reward you for certain things as you walk in obedience on this life. And then there's the book of battles. I mean, the Bible says that the Lord so cares about you that he records in his book every tear that you shed. Every time that you... Now, I don't believe that's tears of doubt. He's not recording tears of doubt, but he's recording tears of faith. It's that intercession that when you're in the midst of a battle and you say, Lord, you know what I'm going through, but I'm going to trust you. Lord, you know what a battle this is for me, but I choose to raise my hands when I could be wringing my hands. I choose to put my eyes on you when the enemy's trying to keep my eyes on what I'm going through. But I choose, Lord, I choose to refocus. And the Bible says that that becomes really a book of battles, or it becomes a book of things that we've crossed with the Lord. Now, I don't know what the Bible, I can't find where what happens with that book. But I just know this, that anything that you do in faith will receive an eternal reward, because faith is eternal. So whatever it is, the tears that you shed over someone being saved, believe in God, trust in the Lord. The tears that you shed as you have compassion on people and pray for them. There is eternal rewards, evidently, because books means remembrance. God some way wants it to be remembered in his kingdom. And so the Lord puts it into these books. And then there's the book of memory, and that's the wonderful one. Because there is great rewards for that. The book of memory says, Malachi chapter 3 says, then those who feared and loved the Lord spoke often to him, to each other. And he had a book of remembrance, or book of memory, drawn up in which he recorded the names of all of those who fear him and love to think about him. I mean, that's just pretty easy, isn't it? To talk about God all the time. And the Lord records that every time you talk about God. See, sometimes, and I believe the reason the Lord does it, because, see, sometimes you're talking about God in hard places. Many of you are working in jobs and working in situations. You're working around people. So where it would be much easier for you to just be a secret Christian. But you've just determined, I must let out of me what God has put in me. And so you talk about the Lord in places that is not easy And you talk about it, and you tell about the goodness of God and times where it would be easier to keep your mouth shut. But the Lord says, I hear you every time. Every time. And God says, I know that when the devil's trying to fill your mind with all evil things, and you make a choice to think about God things. When you make a choice to be heavenly minded, God says, I'm going to write that down in my book. I'm going to write it down in my book. God is recording in heaven, in the books. And I know, like I said, the books means that there is for remembrance in his kingdom. So there is an eternal reward or eternal blessings or joy somewhere that await people that God is able to record in his book of memories the things that they do for him. Every time that you could have opportunity to talk back to somebody and you choose by the grace of God to honor the Lord. I mean, God is noticing everything and all things. Now, but the reason that I need to pursue God mostly is because there's also a book of purpose. In heaven, there is a book that tells all about my divine purpose on this life. In fact, the Bible said it is a second by second, a moment by moment description of what my life is to be here. In heaven, there is a moment by moment description. And it was written before I was ever born, the Bible says. And so it just really bothers me when we say, well, I'm going to try to decide what I'm going to do. My God, you messed your life up enough. Why don't you let God make a decision? You understand? Somebody says, I'm just trying to decide what job I'm. Those are the very places that God puts you on earth. Those are the very places and the reasons that God puts you on earth. So he would have a vessel that he could guide and lead and put you in specific places and in specific callings. In fact, that Bible says, you saw me before I was born. Every day, Psalms 139 says, every day of my life was recorded in your book. Get ready for the 700 Club video up there for me, please. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. You see what it says? Every moment of my life was laid out. Now, you know there is a sense of responsibility in this. A strong sense. One day we will all stand before the Lord. And the things that I just wanted to do, even if I wanted to do them for God, they're going to be burned up. Do you understand? They're not going to stand the test of fire. It's going to be when I've yielded my life to God. And I just wonder here tonight, sitting in this, how many of us may have callings on our life that we've never, ever, ever, never allowed to even have one place because we couldn't figure out how to do it and we didn't think we had ability to do it. And all the while, God said, I want you to come out of your inability and I want you to step into my ability. Every day. It's not you figuring out. Now, there's two choices there. We're either going to hear the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Do you understand? That's what he says when we faithfully use what God has put in us. When we've faithfully done what God's told us to do, what he's leading us to do. Now, it is a moment by moment. You see, second by second, God has a plan for our lives. And I just dare say here tonight, how many people have never even allowed God to just take a moment and say, I didn't call you for that. I know you're doing that, but I didn't call you. You know, God has the right to do that. God has the right. And even though I may have spent my life trying to go in a certain direction and that I may have completely missed God's will altogether. Do you see what it says? Do you understand what it says? It says, every day of my life was already recorded in your book. Now, on that day, and God opens that book, I wonder what would be the line. Will it be what God wrote in His book that I needed to be doing? Or would it be what I've tried to do for Him? I want you to hear that, and we're going to take just a few moments here. And I want you to hear from a 700 Club interview. And that very question was asked this young man. Listen to it, please.
All right, TC is with us now. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
When you were cast in War Room, did you really think, I mean really, that it was going to do so well at the box office?
Not number one. No. I remember we were at the premiere. We were all getting together, and we had done three premieres. And we were saying to ourselves, okay, just as a fan, what do y'all think War Room was going to do?
Boy, that's a good...
All right, TC's with us now. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
When you were cast in War Room, did you really think, I mean really, that it was going to do so well at the box office?
Not number one. No. I remember we were at the premiere. We were all getting together, and we had done three premieres, and we were saying to ourselves, okay, just as a fan, what do y'all think War Room was going to do? And we were all throwing out numbers and stuff. And we all say, well, it'd be cool. And when you look at the history of their films, they've done
let's
well.
Stop it, guys.
You
know, top four, top five. If we can't bring it up, let's
number
just
one.
Stop it. Okay. It was just that major thing. It was the main one of the main stars on in War Room. And he tells how that he was such a wonderful testimony, how he played in NFL for years. And all the time that he had asked God to help him, he said ever since he was 12 years old, he dreamed of being an NFL star. And he always asked God to be with him. And he said then he finally got there and he finally realized it wasn't God being with him. He needed to finally be with God. And after he was an NFL star, he stopped and he asked God. He said, God, am I doing the right thing? And God said, I never called you to do that. I've helped you and I've blessed you. But I've called you to do something differently. And it's this wonderful testimony of how that he said he enjoyed the NFL so much, but it doesn't stand even one little dab to the joy that he has now when he's finally found out what God wanted him to do. And said it all came about by him simply stopping one day and saying, God, is this what you want me to do? And he said he had never ever asked God that question. He'd always asked God to be with him. He'd always asked God to help him. And God had. God had been with him and God had helped him. God had helped him to meet all types of acclaim and success. But God said, that's not what I called you to do. So I just want you to know it is a serious matter. Because one day we will stand before the Lord. And we will be, our life will not be laid out in accordance with what we thought we should have been doing. Or what we thought we only could do. Because whatever God has really called each of us to do has an element of the supernatural in it. God has called every one of us to do or be far more than we could do or be. But God expects us to look at His calling with Him in view. And God expects us to be willing to take steps of faith and trust Him. That in my inability, I can step out of this boat and I can step onto the water of God's ability. For if it wasn't for God, I would sink. If it wasn't for the Lord, amen, then I would sink. Now, God's will is what is our second major purpose. That we must desperately seek God. Are you staying with me? Are you back with me? I don't think you're right yet with me. In Revelation chapter 17, verse 14, just be our closing scripture. Revelations chapter 17, verse 14. Jeremy, would the other one work? Revelation chapter 17, verse 14. I'll close with one if you guys get it. If not, then it's fine. But if you guys get one of them, then we'll. Revelation chapter 17, verse 14. Notice what it says. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And those with him, those that will ride with God, notice what they have three qualities. The first quality is that they're called. There's not a one of us here that's not called. Called to be, called to do. And God, we have to come to terms with that, because one day we will stand before God and it will either be, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Or it will be taken away from us, that which God had, the abilities that God has even given to us. And you know, I would hate to spend eternity knowing that I had wasted all the preparation for eternity, which is earth. I'd wasted it. I'd wasted it on things that I thought were good. But notice what it says. First, they're called. Everybody say they're called. So those that are with the Lord, those that are with the Lord that move in the power of his kingdom. And that's the one that's listed here. Those that are there with the Lord in the power of his kingdom in the book of Revelation. They are first called. The next thing they're chosen. What does that mean? Not only do I find out what I do, I must find out how to do it. I must find a way to do it in a godly manner. And so it's so important that not only that we obey God in what we do, what we become chosen in it, as we begin to do it in accordance with God's character. I mean, all of us have heard people preach, and I'm sure that I have, out of God's character completely. I mean, by some people, you would think they're mad at the whole world. God's not mad at the world. God loves the world. Do you understand? The character chosen. I must not only be concerned about what I'm called to do, what God's called, I must also allow God to work in me. There's two things that God wants to work in me. One is unction, and the other one is restraint. They're just as important. Restraint is as important as unction. God wants me to come to a place in the Holy Spirit to where I will obey his unctions. But to do that, I have to also be willing to yield to his restraints. When I was back in earlier years, many, many years ago, I was head or over the youth in a county of a tri-county area. And so we had gathered the youth. I was working with some other youth leaders, and I was especially with one other youth leader that today is a marvelous pastor. And we were both youth leaders, and so we were working together. And we were gathering the youth up from the tri-county, and we were out witnessing, sharing the gospel, giving out gospel tracts, inviting people. Well, we both hit this parking lot in El Dorado one night, both of us with our groups. And I probably had a group about 30, and he probably had a group about 30, and we hit the parking lot just hot and heavy. But then when we hit the parking lot, we found that it was a rule that you had to personally give the people the things that we were sharing with them that night. That there was no way that you could leave any on cars. You couldn't do anything like that. And so immediately then I got my team together and said, kids, tonight we've got to make this all one-on-one. We've got to personally witness individually. We can't just cover areas, you know. And so the other youth leader said, well, I don't care what they say. I come here to do it. And he did it his way. Now, that's been probably 30 years ago. I still remember it. Not only is it important to be called, it's also important to be chosen. It's not only important to do what God tells you to do. It's so important that you do it with God's heart, in God's way, and in God's character. A lot of times that averages out and works right down into a home. Husbands say, well, I tell you what God told me to do in this home. He told me to take control. So he goes in, takes his glass of tea, slams it down, says, I'm the boss. Then he gets up off the floor 3 days later when finally. A person that's of the Spirit would choose not only to have an unction of the Spirit, but they realize that even when you have an unction of the Spirit, you also got to operate this restraint of the Spirit. That's why the Bible says in the church, let everything be done decently in order. There's not a one of us. I mean, we could just have a hilarious time tonight by unctions of the Holy Spirit. But it would be wrong to do it that way. Because there is a way for it to be done decently in order. Amen. Some people say, well, God told me to do it this way. If God told you to do it that way, he also put a heart of yielding in you. A heart of submission. A heart of humility. You can usually tell when you got a call of God, because the call of God, it will be more than you can do. But you can also tell when you have the heart of God, because the heart of God is loaded down with humility. Amen. Call, chosen, and faithful. Lord, I give you praise and glory. Lord, that you have been each one of us, Lord, to walk into deeper places with you. Lord, it's a marvelous thing to know, Lord, that I don't have to really worry about lining out my life. Because, Lord, you've already lined it out in a book. Lord, all I have to do is yield to you, precious Holy Spirit. And just determine, Lord, not to do anything my own way. I could be a narcissist, Lord, in my own life, even with you. But Lord, we choose to be vessels of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we choose to be called and chosen, Lord. Not only, Lord, do we want to do what you want us to do, we want to do it in your heart. How many of you here tonight, you have an idea of what God is calling you? And now, the thing about the calling God, the thing about, I love the way the Lord said it. The Lord said, I wrote it every day in a book. You can only read one page at a time in a book, Joyce, can't you? And that's the way the will of the Lord is revealed to us a lot, is one step at a time. Now, some of us cheat on books, don't we? We go all the way to the last page, read the climax of the story. It kind of ruins the book, doesn't it? Yeah. But the Lord says, every day, he has a page for you. And you can just get up every day and say, Lord, I'm your vessel. I'm here, Lord, to be used by you. I'm here, Lord. Whatever you want me to do, I will put your agenda, my major agenda, in Jesus' name. Tonight, if you're here and you say, Jerry, I'm wrestling with the character of God right now in my life. Sometimes I feel like I know the will of God, but I'm missing God's character so much. I'm hard when I need to be soft. I'm soft when I need to be hard. I'm weak when I need to be strong. I'm loud when I need to be quiet. Let me tell you what. The most hurtful I've seen in this whole church happened at these altars this year. I saw more flesh happen here than possibly I had ever. And it was just one occasion for me. But it hurt people so much. to those people, we have not been able to get them back in church with us again. What the flesh can do in one moment, the will of God can tell us what to do, but the character of God will tell us how to do it. Amen. How many need some help there? You say, Jerry, I'm really wrestling with right now. If it is, won't you just simply stand right where you're sitting at? I'm going to close this service tonight by having a prayer for you. You're going through something you're not handling in the character of God. You're not handling it the way that you know that the Lord would desire you to handle it. You want to shine for His glory at an hour that He desperately needs you to. Good news is the Holy Spirit will help us. The good news is the Holy Spirit will help us. The good news is the Holy Spirit will help us. Lord, in Jesus' name, right in this closing prayer right here tonight, God. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that You would help us. Precious Holy Spirit, we invite You. We invite You, precious Holy Spirit, not to only give us a guidance and a direction in our life, but precious Holy Spirit, we ask You to give us a restraint in our life. Lord, when my voice wants to be too loud, Lord, help me to restrain my voice, Lord. When my emotions would want to be too strong and want to be angry, Lord, help me to have a powerful restraint of God. This will pull that back underneath the character of God. Lord, when worry and fear want to be my major pushing agents in my life, Lord, help me by the Holy Spirit to restrain that fear and to restrain that, Lord, frustration, and allow Your peace and Your joy, Lord, to be ruling factors in my life. Precious Holy Spirit, right now, would you say these words with me? Say, precious Holy Spirit, would You? I yield my character. I yield myself to You. I'm asking You, in Jesus' name, to empower my weakness and strengthen me, Lord, that I can bring glory to Your name. In Jesus' name,